Thank you, video Pastor Alex. As he said, my name's Will, and it's a really, it's a blessing for me to be able to come and share with you today what God has placed on my heart. It's something I've been thinking and wrestling and meditating through for the past several weeks, and it's been both encouraging to me, it's been challenging to me, and I hope that it's the same for you too today, that you would be encouraged, that you'd be challenged by it as well. It's a joy too to be a part of Next Gen Sunday and everything that Carmel is doing here to empower the next generation of leaders that are coming through. They will be the church in days that we don't get to see. So placing them in roles of leadership, giving them a chance to practice their faith now is crucial. And not every church really gets to do that. So to be a part of it today is really special for me. Have you ever woken up on a really important day with an irrational fear? That happened to me today. I woke up today. See, you've already cleared my fear. I woke up today, and I was afraid that you had forgotten how to laugh, and that you would just be blankly staring back at me. So you've already cleared that up. But just for the sake of it, let's get a good practice laugh in together. That'll make me feel a whole lot better. So on the count of three, let just a good practice laugh right from the belly. Make sure you support it with voice. I don't want you to strain your voice here. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right, good. We're on the same page now. We'll be in the book of Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 13. So grab your Bibles if you're like me, you're a Bible app person. Turn on your Bible app. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's towards the back of the Bible. This is the last chapter of the book. And the author of Hebrews has gone through this whole section on how Jesus is the best version of a leader that we could see. At the end of the book here in chapter 13, he's going through just the last, like, to me it feels like the section where, like, I really wanted to tell you about this, but the letter's already, like, 12 chapters long. So here, I'm just going to throw it all out. So he goes through this just list after list after list, just thing after thing after thing of just one or two verses together of just little points for you to catch on and catch and remember. We're going to look at a little pair of verses 7 and 8 today. So if you're the kind of person that needs to, like, read the whole thing so you get, like, you know the ending before you get to it, if you're that kind of person, then you go ahead. I'm gonna go just kind of sentence by sentence through this. So we'll start in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7, he says this. He says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God." As I was kind of meditating on this, I loved the way that he talked about leaders and remembering the leaders that you had. Because like I said, this book has really all been about leadership. It's been about Jesus's leadership. At the beginning of the book, the author talks about how Jesus is a better Moses. He's a better Moses than we saw in the Old Testament, who leads us out of the wilderness of our sin and into the promised land of to be with God. And then he talks about how Jesus is the better high priest who mediates before God on our behalf, who is the sacrifice even himself that gives us access to the presence of God. And then in chapter 11, the author of Hebrews goes through this long list of leaders, of leaders of the faith in the Old Testament, people who were leading God's chosen people and how their faith played out and leading there. And it's not even a complete list. He goes through a ton of people, but doesn't make it all the way to the end because there's more names than he could even mention in just that one chapter. And so now in chapter 13, after all of this discussion of leadership, he kind of turns the question back towards you and towards me. Who are your leaders? Who are the people that have invested in your life, who have shown you more of Jesus? And as I was kind of thinking through this, there were a couple of leaders in my life that came to mind. The first one is his name is John Helms. John is, I met him in seminary. I went to Southeastern Baptist just north of Raleigh, and John and I were students together there. John's actually back, he's in Charlotte now. He's a part of Mercy Church just on Providence Road. He's the missions pastor there, and John is a people person. If there ever was a people person, it's John. Do you know those kinds of people that you feel like they could talk to a brick wall and would be friends with them? And you know, just that's John. You could talk to him just for like having never met him before. You could talk to him and feel like he's your long lost best friend that you knew back when you were in kindergarten and you're now reconnected again. He just has that kind of spirit about him to be able to speak and share with just about and connect with just about anyone. He had that kind of personality. And that kind of drew me towards him. I'm not always that way. I'm a little more introverted than John is. So the fact that he was able to connect with me quickly, that meant a lot to me. And the fact that it wasn't just like small talk, he actually cared about me. He was my small group leader at the church there. We were at Summit Church in the Raleigh-Durham area. It's a great church. If you're ever there and you get the chance to go, it's a phenomenal gospel preaching church there. He was my small group leader. It's such a big church to be able to connect in a small circle. That was really meaningful. And that group was really special too, because it was a multi-ethnic group. It was a multi-generational group. We had a family whose fourth grade daughter was a member of the group with us. I mean, she was regularly coming and participating. And that was totally normal. That family, they were applying to be missionaries in Central Asia, and we had newlyweds. There were families that had teenagers that were in it. There was me, the single guy who didn't know what he was doing with his life yet. There was grandparents who were nearing retirement. It was really special to see like the gospel bring together like all of these different people from all of these different backgrounds and all of these different stages of life. We were all connected together around Jesus and around the gospel and honestly around John's like friendship. I mean, he was the one that kind of knew each of us like independently and like had connected kind of the dots for us and kind of compiled the group together. And because we were able to connect with John, we were able to connect with each other better too. I've never met anyone that is more of the be in Abel than John, of building relationships and what it means to build up a friendship, not for the purpose of like of fixing a problem in someone, because people aren't problems to fix. They're just people to know. They're relationships to have. And he developed those kinds of friendships to give him some gospel opportunities, just to share and show Jesus through his life. John meant a lot to me. There was another person that kind of came to mind too as I was thinking through this. His name is Chris Deitch. Chris was my first boss at my first full-time ministry job up in Virginia, and our staff at that church, we were pretty young and inexperienced. Chris was the one who had been through it once before, and he knew what he was doing, and so he was the one that was kind of teaching us in ministry about how we can leverage the gifts and abilities that God has given us to share with other people. How we can use our time. I mean, Chris had a work ethic like I've never seen. I mean, as soon as he got into that office, he was there for Jesus to build up ministry opportunities. He took every opportunity he had to share the gospel, and he encouraged us to work together as a team. We weren't a student pastor and a kids pastor and a worship pastor that were all kind of just sharing office space in the same building. We were one team united together that was going to reach that community for Jesus. We would go out to lunch together, the whole team, and it turned out that we started going pretty much every day, which my wallet is really mad at me for that. My belt, too. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. To be able to sit with Chris and with the rest of that team and hear about his experience in ministry and how I can leverage my life, too, for the gospel, that was really impactful. All of that time compounded upon it upon itself helped to develop me into a better minister. And I know there's more to grow, but Chris was a great example for me, a great leader of the L and the E part of Abel, of living the gospel with everything. That was Chris. So I wonder for you, who are your leaders? Who invested in you? Who made a difference in your life? Who are the leaders that you should remember that spoke to you, that spoke the word of God into your life? Who invested in you? I want to encourage you to thank God for them. Like pray and thank God for the people that he put into your life. I want to encourage you too. Like go and thank them for them and the impact that they had. I got to do that with Chris and with John this week, and it was great to reconnect with them and share with them. But they were so encouraged to hear how grateful I was for what they had done in my life. I honestly don't know how much of an impact they realized they had. I want to encourage you too. To do that, you can offer a lot of encouragement to somebody that's made an impact in your life. To go and thank them for the ministry they did in your heart, in your life. Do you have a name of somebody? Is there somebody that's kind of popped into your head about someone that has impacted you, that is invested into you? Let's put some voice to that. Turn to somebody next to you and share their name with somebody that's sitting next to you. Go ahead. You're going to have to talk for this part of it. Go ahead and share the name. Who is it? Do you hear the buzz? Do you hear the buzz around the room? Like, how cool is that? I wonder how many different names we just shared. Like, how many different people did we just share in this room? How many different names did we just mention? You know, there's probably a few of us that maybe mentioned the same person, but on the whole, like with as many people as we have in this room, there's probably a different name of someone that had an impact in your life and for the gospel. And that was really just one person each. I mean, if we sat here and tried to come up with a whole list, we've got hundreds, if not thousands of names of people, because God uses all kinds of people to make an impact in people's lives. He uses lots of different people. I just gave you two. There was even more that's made an impact in my heart and my life, and I know that's the case for you too. So I want to encourage you this week to think through. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, and be grateful and thankful for them. Share that with God and with them too. Share that with your family. Does your family know the people that have had an impact in your life? Do they know who has made a difference in your life? Now, in my time in ministry, especially as it relates to like Next Gen Sunday and Next Generation stuff, there's been a few different times where I've encouraged people to get like invested and get involved. Like, hey, there's a generation that needs to know Jesus, and would you be willing and interested in helping out with that? And on more than one occasion, there's some hesitancy, some trepidation. There's an SAT word. Hold on to that one, high school students. When they have that kind of trepidation, when they have that kind of hesitancy about getting involved and getting invested, it's not just like who invested in you, but like who are you investing in? When you start to ask that question, there's sometimes a little bit of like hesitancy of like, maybe I don't think I'm the right person for this. And one of the main reasons that I've heard just in my short time of ministry, it's already come up several times, is I'm not a teacher. I don't know enough to share with other people about it. You're going to have to find somebody else because I'm not a teacher. And you know what? I'll give you that. Not everyone is a teacher. That's okay. If God made every single one of us the exact same way, that would be super boring. He made us each differently. He gave us all different gifts, and it's okay. But the author of Hebrews talks about the importance of teaching in the next part of that verse. Hebrews 13:7, the next sentence, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Now he says this. He says, consider all the things they said and imitate the things they taught. Is that what your Bible says? Maybe. No? That's not what your Bible says? Hang on, let me try one more time. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Is that what your Bible says? Okay, sorry. Must have been a typo or something. I can understand. Not everybody is a teacher. But you know, out of the two examples that I gave you, from John and Chris in my life, they're fabulous communicators. Chris is preaching every week at his church in Missouri. John is regularly teaching. He's preaching next week at Mercy. They're regularly teaching. And out of all of that communication that they did, all of the small groups that I sat in with John and devotions with Chris, I don't remember most of them. And I would guess that that's probably true with the leaders that you thought of too. They say a lot of really important stuff, and it's important to speak the word of God into their life, but what really makes a difference, what really changes someone's life is not the words that you say, because those are gonna pass, and they might not remember a whole lot of that. What really changes someone's life is sharing your life with them. When you're sharing your whole life together, when you can see the trajectory of their life and how it's pointed towards Jesus, when you are life to life with somebody, that's when things change, because that's when they're seeing the Holy Spirit. And He is the one that's going to change them anyway. So don't worry if you feel like, you know what, I'm not a great teacher. I don't feel like I can say the right things. Don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to change the next generation anyway. They're going to be the ones that change our neighbors and the nations anyway. He's the one that's going to be the difference. So share your life with somebody. And when it comes time to say something, Jesus told us not to worry about that. That He's got that covered. And when it comes time to say something, you'll have the right words to say, because the Holy Spirit will provide them for you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Those are the things that really change the hearts of somebody else. It's important to speak the word of God, but the Holy Spirit will be the one that provides it. And when you're life to life with somebody else, that's when they'll see Jesus in you, and that's when they will be changed. The other thing that I've heard in trying to encourage people to be involved, especially with Next Generation, the other thing that I've heard is, I just don't get these kids. I just don't get Next Generation. They don't make any sense to me. And you know, I'm with you on that one too, especially for this Next Generation. they're weird. They're a little weird. I feel like I've for a while I was able to keep up with like all of the trends, like all of the like hit TV shows and music and stuff. Like I was, but a couple of years ago I felt like I was starting to like lose some ground, I was just 1 year behind and then 2 years behind. You know, have you felt that way too? Like you were able to, for a little while, but now, like they just are zooming on past with this whole brand new culture that they're developing, and maybe you feel a little left behind with it. And I'm starting to feel that way too. There was a word that Generation Z started using a year ago. It's kind of lost a little bit of its popularity, but it still shows up from time to time. This one really confused me. The word yeet. Do you know this one? Like, have you heard this one? I had to look it up. It's not in the dictionary. So it's not a real word. somehow it's a noun, a verb, and an exclamation. I guess this word is like made of Play-Doh, and you can kind of like make it into like whatever you want it to be. But so usually you're going to use this word when you are discarding an object at high velocity. So you're like throwing something like away. You are yeeting, I guess, and you can do that in like past. You yeeted, I guess, and then I have yote. I think that's how that goes. It's really very confusing. And then while you're doing that, it can also be an exclamation. So here's my example. Here's what I was thinking of. I know Pastor Alex, he doesn't really drink soda, but if he were to, and he finishes his can of soda, Pastor Alex finishes his soda, he proceeds to yeet his empty can into the trash bin, into the recycling bin, and then as he does so, he could exclaim, "Yeet!" as he threw it. That would be the proper like application of this word. So now you know. There you go. I caught you up on one piece of Generation Z culture. You know. So in terms of like, I don't get these kids. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't get that. I don't get that. But I think the author of Hebrews kind of experienced the same thing back in his time. Maybe not yeet. But whatever yeet was back in the first century, I think he probably felt that too. Because he goes on in verse 8 to say this piece that's just been so encouraging to me. He says, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you feel like you don't understand these kids, if you feel like you don't get this next generation, that is totally okay. There are a lot of people that feel the same way that you do. But the good news is they don't need somebody that knows the correct past tense form of yeet. They don't need somebody that knows all of the Fortnite dances. They don't need somebody that understands all of their favorite music and dresses the way that they do. And they don't need somebody that knows all of these things. They need Jesus, and you know him. And you can share him with them. The same Jesus that you needed when you were a kid is the same Jesus that I needed when I was a kid. It's the same Jesus that the kids today need. And he's the same Jesus that the kids in 3019 are going to need. Because Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So don't worry about not understanding these kids. They are strange. That's okay. That's okay. They need to know Jesus, and you know him. So I want to encourage you today just with those two questions. Who invested in you? Who invested in you? Who made a difference in your life? Who are you investing in? Who are you investing in? Is there somebody that you're pouring into? If someone were to preach this exact message 10 years from now, is there someone that would mention your name as having invested in their life? For a lot of you, you might already be connected. You might be plugged in into preschool ministry, and you're sharing the basics that God made you and God loves you, and you're helping kids to feel like they can trust you. And because they can trust you, they can trust your God too. Maybe you're invested in children's ministry, and you're helping kids discover who Jesus is in Scripture, and you're helping them to discover their need for a Savior and learn how to read and understand the Bible for themselves. Maybe you're plugged into student ministry, and you're helping kids develop a passion for following Jesus in every part of their life and how they can share that passion with other people. Or you're plugged into neighbor ministry and you're the hands and feet of Jesus to meet the needs of the people that are in our own backyard, in our own community. Maybe you're plugged into the nations ministry and you're going across the oceans or across cultures to share Jesus with people who may have never heard of him before. Maybe you're already plugged in. And if you are, I want to let this be an encouragement to you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. It's paying off. You're making a big difference in someone's life. You're obedient to the call of Scripture to pour into someone else, to share your life with them so they can see the Holy Spirit and grow closer to Jesus. So way to go. Keep it up. Maybe you're not plugged in yet. I want you to feel a little bit of a tug towards that. Towards getting involved and sharing your life with somebody, because you have something valuable to offer. You've got your life, and you've got the Holy Spirit involved in you and in your heart, and that's who these people need to know. That's who they need to see, is the Holy Spirit who's going to point them towards Jesus. If you're not plugged in, I want to encourage you to pray about it and find where God is leading you. Where does he have you? Where is the spot that he's got for you to pour into and invest into somebody else? But don't just pray about it. Let that be the first step, but there's another one with it. You need to do something with it too. Pray about it for sure, but do something with it too. In your worship card and bulletin, you'll see there's a lot of different people that you can get in touch with about how do you get plugged in, how do you get involved. And I'll tell you this, you don't have to be right on the first guess. Pray about it and see where you think God might be leading you to serve, but just because you talk to somebody doesn't mean you're locked into it forever. If you try children's ministry and you come talk to me about getting plugged in and you're like, you know what, this just isn't where God's got me, that's okay. I'll help you find the right spot. Because we're not just a preschool students, children. We're not just nearest neighbors and nations working independently towards this. We are a whole body of the church that's working together to make disciples of our community. We're going to work together on this, and we need you plugged in and involved in it to share your life and your experience with somebody who needs it most. I want to encourage you to get plugged in and get involved. You know, Jesus said that his house would be called a house of prayer. And we want that to be said of Carmel too. So we're going to transition towards our time of prayer for this service. And those are the two questions that I want to leave you with. Who invested in you and who are you investing in? You can pray in your seats where you are, or you can come and pray at the prayer benches that we have here. If you come and pray at the benches and you want somebody to pray for you and pray with you, hold your hands open like this. Someone will come and will pray with you. I want to encourage you to thank God for the people that have invested in your life, and ask God to show you where he can use you to reach the next generation.